Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 944. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
There has been a veritable smorgasbord of wrestling here, should one want to partake around WrestleMania. But even WrestleMania itself was quite the feast. And I think this all kind of works in conjunction. The WWE finally got Night 2 correct. I feel like the main event has been the Night 1 main event. And then the Night 2 main event, everyone's like, eh. You know, whatever. I kind of even felt like that happened a little bit last year. This year, that did not happen. Cody Rhodes and his team of Avengers end up finally taking out Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. In the main event of WrestleMania XL Night 2, I mean, they finally pulled the trigger on something that we have been saying should have happened a year ago for about
a year. Yes, they did. And they proved themselves right. Everything that they did has been made worth it. Because I don't think that win would have meant as much as it did. I don't think it would have resonated as hard as well. Maybe things would have probably worked out fine, maybe, but that moment, I mean, they nailed that ending. Like, the closest thing I can think of is Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30. But even then, there was always that thought in your head that they don't really see him as the top guy and they are going to make this a transition reign to whatever. And that's exactly what happened. And in fact, he wasn't even allowed to be a transition reign because of Bryan's injury at the time. This is different. This, you feel like it's a new era. You feel like that there's an anointing of a new top guy. And the way that they did this, the whole pivot that had to come from The Rock being involved and the changing of the main event and then making, a match on Night 1 that directly affected Night 2 and everything they've done since then and all the obstacles they put in Cody's way and then having all of the help that he got to then have that moment, that three count was just one of the most, if not the most satisfying moment I can ever remember. Really, it really felt like something special. It felt earned. Everything about it felt earned. There's, this entire WrestleMania week, they were very heavy-handed about the new era. And Triple H is the greatest boss who ever lived, and he's a fucking genius, and he's such a fucking genius, and all that. But I mean, that ending was just picture perfect. To share that moment with Brandy, would Vince have let Brandy on TV? Moment that we haven't had in a while, with all the baby faces coming out, and not just all the current baby faces who have lost to Roman Reigns during this run, got to celebrate it with Cody, and call Cody's family, handing the belt to his mom, even giving Michael Cole a big hug, and Michael Cole, that will probably go down as the call of Michael Cole's life. He was never better than he was that night. During that match, and then Michael Cole getting emotional, Samantha Irvin getting emotional, it felt as real as anything that we've experienced in wrestling in a very long time. Just an amazing thing to be a part of.
I mean, that was quite a piece of business that that they did there. Like, and it is kind of funny. Like, I don't think the plan for The Rock versus Roman Reigns goes sideways if Cody wins last year.
No, it does not. No, that's not what happens.
You know, that is the other just kind of wild thing about the whole situation is that had they pulled the trigger last year, like, how everything worked together would not have been the same. You know, how everything... No. And just even that part, it was one of the few flaws of that main event. Did not see Seth Rollins before he was wiped out. Would have made me
no,
like
they did
the
not. But
seen again, minor flaw, but the storytelling even within that piece.
The camera couldn't catch him, and when that song hit, when that video was on the screen, did you for a fleeting second think Moxley/Ambrose was going up?
I've got to admit that I'm like, he's been gone a weirdly long time, but I was like, I'm pretty sure he's under contract. You know, so it was a pretty fleeting moment, but I'm like, weird stuff's been happening. Like, there's been enough weird stuff happening that you're like, okay, this Pandora's box has been opened. And just honestly, even with, there were some reports that Nick Khan is looking into joining up with other, you know, wrestling federations, you start to go, you know, maybe this isn't too far in the future here.
Yeah, so, no. It wouldn't be that one, no. But yeah, so yes. Yeah, so no. In that moment, I'm just like, whoa. But yeah, no. That was all, you know. Other than the camera not catching him, come through the crowd. He told Cody he would be his shield, and that's exactly what he did. He took the bullet for Cody Rhodes. Roman could not resist the urge to take that shot 10 years later.
Of Seth Rollins in the Shield gear. Like, yeah, like that was just such a chef's kiss moment of this whole thing. Like, Roman could have obliterated Cody Rhodes, but just really, really could not pass up. And I mean, it was even amazing that Seth Rollins fell almost the exact same way that Roman Reigns fell.
That was totally on purpose. He probably practiced that and watched it a million times over and over again to get it right. Yes.
Compliments to the chef on that one. Like, sometimes I feel like we get away with not talking about the positives enough. Like how this match played out and how they, like changed this main event to end the way it did. Like, it really did make it feel just way different than it has in a long time. You know, and yeah, like Cody. Yeah, you could see that most people were on board. Like, even if The Rock got cheers, I felt like they booed in the right moments against The Rock.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did.
So, you know, it wasn't just like a wholesale, we're in awe. Like, people kind of knew to play into it. And You know, that's the one thing that they've also said, and I am in complete agreement with. You need a good villain to have a good hero. So Roman Reigns was a great villain, and it'll be interesting. I did see that Roman has already tweeted here recently, and he said, what was it? I mourned for one day, and now I'm back at it, or something like that. And he just kind of had a snarl to him, and I'm like, okay. Like, this will be interesting to see how this one ends up playing out.
Yeah, but who's he going after first? Who does he, is he going to go after Cody, or is he going to blame Seth Rollins? Which, but also, but I guess that depends on, well, that depends on a lot of what the plans are. So since we're doing this WrestleMania Night 2 and Raw the night after, you know, together, we can kind of, I think we can move to the things that, transition to the things that the night that WrestleMania, you know, fed into. And that is that after a very, very long opening segment, we were left with The Rock is coming back. A one-on-one match between Cody Rhodes and The Rock will take place at some point. No date given. Very good chance that they no date given because they said they don't have one yet.
But
that match could pretty much take place anytime between SummerSlam and WrestleMania next year, depending on The Rock's schedule.
Because he said, The Rock says whether Cody is champion or not, Cody is his next match.
Well, that's just trying to make sure to make that all of Cody's title defenses before aren't considered a foregone conclusion, because, yeah, I'm pretty sure the title's going to be at stake when they face each other.
And this could make for it will be interesting depending upon The Rock's schedule. It could make for another lengthy championship reign, which will be, and honestly, this is one of those items that you were talking about the overhaul of the WWE, and Paul Levesque is the best booker at, well, you know, I mean, hey, we even got Paul Heyman saying he's a Paul Levesque guy, so but Vince failed so many baby faces.
He really did. It became such past. Yes, he did. He booked his baby faces so terribly, almost begging people to turn against them, or he would turn them too soon, build too soon, or whatever he did, make them look weak, do that thing he did with Cena where it's like you gotta smile every day and you can't show disappointment, you can't show anger. The Ronda Rousey thing, the Raquel, I'm talking about maybe underneath things, but you gotta smile, you always have to smile, you have to stay smiling no matter what, and all these things that are from, it's not even old school wrestling, it's just these things he, it's like these. Yeah, Meltzer and Alvarez, there were these unwritten rules that that everyone had to follow, that were all these things that Vince had in his head that this is the way things are supposed to be, and that's it. And we are stripping away of those things. At first little by little, but now we are making the wholesale change. Including the return of the term professional wrestling instead of sports entertainment. And that you don't have, once again, Vince, who was so gung-ho, in the 80s and 90s, you always have to have, Hogan must pose, and you have to have the happy ending, spent the last 10 plus years of his reign, creating these just miserable moments, just ending his shows just, absolute misery, heels going over, faces turning heel, just pure disappointment left and right. And this was so refreshing. And now granted, of course, there's a time for the heel to go over, and everything they've done in last year has been That's what I'm right. You know, waiting for it while going for it like last year would have probably worked out fine. Doing it the way that they did it, and everything that has happened since last year created this unforgettable moment that really did stamp, you know, a new era. And it's just again, we talk about we can be very negative or whatever. I don't feel we're going to be very negative throughout the rest of this episode here. You know, talking about the things we're going to talk about.
Well, I guess I let it off with it, and is there anything else really to talk about with that main event scene? It's like
no.
So,
things to talk about are, you know, Cody did, you know, we set up a very, you know, off in the distance match with The Rock.
Yeah,
but we did not establish who his opponent is going to be at Backlash. But he is going to be on every Raw and SmackDown through the end of the month. So his visit to SmackDown on Friday could find his next opponent. Is for his first challenge.
Yeah, I mean, it'd probably be good for such a short shelf situation that going with this might be the way to go. You know, someone that's not going to run into him on a regular basis if he's more of a Raw guy than a SmackDown guy.
But we don't know that because there is now a draft at the end of the month.
Yeah. And I was a little disappointed in some ways that that Columbus was not... They almost would have talked me into the Raw for sure if the draft had taken place here, but it's the following Raw after that. After their
what's wrong with going to that? What's wrong with going to that Raw?
Mondays. That's what the problem
was. Yeah, that. I get it. I understand.
The draft's coming, so I guess that will be interesting to see where he ends up. Well, everyone ends up landing, you know,
because again, I don't believe him and current champion Priest. I don't believe that they will end up on the same show.
I was just getting ready to just completely jump ahead of myself and start talking about the draft itself because
that's what my
mind went to. I'm like, hold on, we don't really.
We're doing this a little differently. Yeah, yeah, yes. The World Heavyweight Championship changed hands twice on night two. For those of you who
don't know, there. Well, and I mean, again, like there were. Yeah, so many good things that happened at night two. And this, honestly, was another one. Seth Rollins mostly got his ass handed to him. You know, as it should have been. He had some spots, but it was almost always because of what Drew McIntyre leaving him openings. And being completely obsessed with CM Punk. And though it did not cost Drew McIntyre the match with Seth Rollins himself, his infatuation with CM Punk did end up costing him the championship because Damian Priest finally was done with all the jokes. And decided it was finally time to cash in because Drew McIntyre had just gotten punked out quite literally.
Yes, he did. Yes, yes. Drew McIntyre first brought it all on himself But of course, we'll never admit to that. He will blame CM Punk for this for the rest of his life. Which again, brilliant. And of course, Drew is talking about how other people are being obsessed, other people being hypocritical, other people being petty, and all that. When Drew McIntyre, of course, is the ultimate hypocrite. Yes, that's all. Yeah, all this is all of this is brilliant. Yes.
That is the other part. Like, Drew McIntyre is still going with the character. Like, it only just reinforces his opinions. And hot damn, does it make me laugh. That is just pure silliness, quite frankly.
But yes, new world heavyweight champion Damian Priest. The moment has come. Raw on Monday. He looked like a champion. He carried himself like a champion. We'll get into the other stuff related to that segment a little bit, but and then establishing during Raw a new contender, number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. Will not be Drew McIntyre, as once again CM Punk has foiled Drew McIntyre, leading to Jey Uso, getting a pinfall win over Drew McIntyre himself, and earning his shot at the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, one thing about this is it's a little on the predictable side that that they're going to Scotland in June, so of course Drew wins the title there.
Yes, that would seem to be the obvious play here.
But at least it looks like Priest is gonna get at least one championship defense in, maybe two, depending on how the Saudi crowd has worked with the two tournament gimmick that they're going with for that. But yes, one year ago, would you have predicted that a WWE pay-per-view was going to be co-main evented by a world championship match between Damian Priest and Jey Uso?
No, would not have predicted that. I guess in a lot of ways, not surprised. I've liked Damian Priest for a long time. Like, he's one of those. I saw him in Ring of Honor, which is like entirely too long ago. I'm not looking at the dates because it's probably gonna make me sad. He's really. It was kind of interesting because he kept on getting the spots with Bad Bunny and whatnot. And, he kept on getting these feature spots under Vince, but it never seemed like there was any follow-up to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, like, I think that they can still do, I think he can have a short-ish championship reign, but still be established as more of a top-tier player. Even if it is only one or two title defenses.
No, that will be absolutely fine. Once again, we are coming off of a period where we had WrestleMania weekend. We had two long championship reigns come to an end. One one has continued on. We could jump around the title a little bit. I mean, a little bit. Let's not go too super crazy. I don't want to go too super crazy with the championship changes, but yeah, no. This was effective. It can put Priest on that pedestal and establish him as a top guy. Eventually McIntyre will get it back, and then I'm imagining by SummerSlam, we're getting Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. So we'll get where we're supposed to get, regardless.
Because, I mean, that is the other interesting thing. CM Punk looks like he's pretty close to coming back. Like, I don't feel like they've set any dates yet, but...
No. I mean, he got involved physically two nights in a row. Now, granted, you know, he took off his brace on his arm and used it as a weapon at WrestleMania. And then on Raw, he grabbed Damian Priest's leg with two hands and didn't favor the one that's been injured. So it appears his recovery seems to be going pretty smoothly. Now, granted, we saw Dakota Kai, you know, walking around with a brace underneath, but still walking around fine for 6 months before she ever had a match again. So, you know,
we need to throw a little bit of caution factor in there.
But again, I don't see anything keeping Punk away from the ring before, you know, by SummerSlam, certainly.
That would seem to be a pretty reasonable landing spot for him. Even if if it's before then, it would be surprising in a lot of ways. Just because that's a pretty major injury. So good on him if he's back a little bit earlier. Trying to think of who. Seth. Yeah, I don't know. Is there much to be said about Seth Rollins in this situation?
Right now, seems like he's going to take some time off, and I think him and Becky are both look like they might be gone for at least a little while. When he comes back, I don't know if you insert him right back in this world title situation. Maybe he could use to be on the other show away from this belt, away from McIntyre, away from Punk. You can come back to him and Punk at a later date. You know, maybe even heading into WrestleMania next year. I think maybe keeping him away from them might be the best thing to do. Now, what he does in the meantime, I don't really know. I mean, you could certainly justify a Seth Rollins Roman Reigns, you know, feud, or you know, at least a big match between them, especially if Roman really does, you know, blame Seth for him losing the title. You could certainly go there at some point. You know, he could certainly have matches and feuds he can do without a title.
Oh, yeah. He has more than enough enemies to have several matches.
Right.
Without the title. So, the time off thing probably would be for the best. If he's really as banged up as he says he is, it would seem like the prudent move here, especially when you have a new top baby face, is to maybe take that time to heal up your body a little bit before getting back into this crazy professional wrestling life. Okay, I'm trying to think of what else we had on night two here. So, I mean, we've talked about all the men's top championship stuff. Trying to think, because I don't really remember. The Philadelphia street fight was the next thing up. You know what? It worked out better than I expected it to.
It was fine. Snoop Dogg was funny on commentary. It was what it was. Yeah.
Yep.
Not much talk about it, but it was fine.
Everyone on the internet made an Alex Jones joke when Bubba Ray Dudley came out.
Yes, they did.
I think I might have been the only one not making an Alex Jones joke because I wouldn't have thought about Alex Jones, quite frankly. Player hater versus player hater. LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
This match is really good. I mean, it'll certainly get lost in the shuffle regarding the entire weekend, but no, I like the match for what it was, for its place on the card. Good win for LA Knight.
Yeah, I mean, AJ Styles is there for this kind of a situation, I feel like. I don't know how many top runs he's really going to have at this point in his career. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if one happened again at some point, but if it feels like he's in that quasi-main event scene area where Kevin Owens has been, where you can get popped into the main event every now and again, but you usually just have these personal feuds now. So, yeah, it's a well-worked match. I really enjoyed that also. So, yeah, it just kind of, and that, it's not bad to say it was what it was supposed to be. Logan Paul ends up defending his U.S. championship against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And not too surprisingly, took advantage of some circumstances to get this pin.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Yeah, no, and once again, this is another really good match. The build-up into this match, and all the way through really the beginning part of this match was really refreshing. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton stayed friends, all the way up to the match, into the match. The bit with the golf cart was hilarious. I enjoyed that, even though Randy Orton very well could have been the end of Randy Orton at various points on that ride.
Yeah, Kevin Owens was really gunning it on that golf cart. Randy Orton almost tipped back, and then B, I swear he almost flipped over that little metal pole that they had welded together for him, too. Good gravy. Yeah, that man had a moment there. But, that was also a lot of fun. Like, the interaction between Randy Orton and Kevin Owens was great. And, Logan Paul just continues to show why he still has the championship in the WWE.
Good performance from him. You know, fun match, fun finish. Yeah. No, got nothing bad to say about this. This was really, really good.
And then, co-main event, really, of the evening. I guess the only thing to cover. Our Egyptian queen, Bayley, is now the WWE Women's Champion.
Yes, she is. No. I didn't get the entrance. It kind of flew over my head. Once again, everything else very good. I mean, with what was going to come in the main event, it's not surprising to me that they didn't run any interference, even though it kind of doesn't make sense that they Damage Control never even tried to get involved in this match. But once again, they had a really, really good match. And they were kind of actually, we call it co-main event, but they were in a tough spot. You know, most of this crowd had gone to WrestleMania the night before. A good percentage of that had also maybe attended NXT and SmackDown to the Hall of Fame and God knows what else. So, I felt like even though the crowd of night two was so much better than the crowd of night one, probably because they weren't freezing to death. but what I felt in the beginning part of the match, this is where they were starting to get tired, but the match was just so damn good. They were really into it by the end of the night. By the end of it, Bayley gets the clean win. Crowd goes wild. George Kittle goes wild. And it was really good. Very happy for Bayley. This is a big moment for her. Yes, she's been in big matches in the past, but there was always know, Sasha was in it. Charlotte was in it. Becky was in it. Maybe even Bianca was in it, who, despite being around a lot less time than Bayley, has certainly leapfrogged her in the hierarchy in the last few years.
Yeah.
But this was Bayley's moment. You know, this whole build was all about Bayley. You know, Io Sky's a really good worker, of course, so I'm not going to say Bayley carried the match. But as far as the storyline, the feuds itself, Bayley had to carry. For the language barrier. You know, this was so much on Bayley to get this over.
Yeah, because it's kind of interesting. I liked where they started to go with EO, but for some reason it doesn't quite have the same resonance as what Shinsuke is doing.
Because a lot of it's the same thing. A lot of it feels like it's the same thing, and Shinsuke did it first. Yes, the ominous music playing as they speak in their native tongue, and you know, and the closed captioning. You know, it's got the words and the transcription. It's got the words. It's like subtitles are there. For some reason, I blanked on subtitles. Yeah, it's less effective with for EO because people are they're essentially just copying what they do with for Shinsuke. But you know, Bayley was the star. Bayley was the veteran, the WWE veteran. This really was her moment to have on her own that she didn't have to share with anybody else.
Yeah,
and it was really nice to see for.
Yeah. She's been great for a long time. That heel character has worked, but I don't feel like she really had a title reign as the heel.
No, she didn't. I mean, and that was kind of the whole thing. She never beat Bianca, but she helped EO catch in and, you know, eventually help give EO the title. And was trying to hold the average control together the whole last few months, and was being completely disrespected and pushed aside and treated like crap. Yeah, that's the story.
And yeah, so good on Bayley here. I was, you know, I guess I wasn't sure who was going to win this one. I thought that EO might come out on top on this one, but.
I thought so too, because I feel like I was starting to think like they're going to want to hit a couple of heel wins in a row before we get to the main event. They're not going to want to quote unquote waste the pop or whatever, but they proved that you can have as many pops as are earned. Really, you just got to take the crowd on that ride and have them let them and have them let, and make them buy in.
Yeah. That, it really helps. And I guess speaking of crowds, there's a couple ways to, talk about this. What the combined attendance ended up being 145,298, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. And over 200,000 for the entire weekend. Yes, of course, a lot of that is the same people being counted multiple times, but still. All those individual seats were sold by people. Doesn't matter if it's the same people. It might even be more impressive to sell the same seat twice, two nights in a row, to the same person. If you really think about it.
yeah, especially what some of those seats cost. I guess I don't care how many repeat customers there were. Because that was wild on Raw. Because I picked up on it, I don't know, I think I picked up on it right away. But it became more obvious when The Rock came out. Like, I think I noticed it when Cody came out. But I'm just like, hold on, there is just no ramp whatsoever. No stage whatsoever. So that they could jam 20,000+ people into that place.
Yeah, I think it's So probably the largest gate for a weekly wrestling TV show ever, I think. It probably possibly more than Raw, and just an incredible, you know, accomplishment there. Yeah. Yeah. And they're gonna, you know, when necessary, they're absolutely going to use the smaller stage setup and entrance ramp, you know, to fit as many people as possible. And from where they were at various points over the last 20 years to this is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I kind of like the setup.
It was nice.
You know, like, it kind of had this nice, sleek look to it, rather than being this huge stage thing. I did kind of like, I'm like, man, this kind of, I kind of like this look. But it does make sense. You know, like, there are a lot of, hey, you can't powerbomb Mae Young off the stage if you don't have a stage, right?
All right. But Stone Cold Steve Austin couldn't drive a truck into the building. If you have a ramp, too. And a stage, too.
Fair enough.
That was the hilarious part about all of those moments. For no reason, they would take the Titantron and the whole stage and the ramp out if they were ever driving something down to the ring. You could always tell if something was going to happen like that back in the day. And there was no story, and there was no context for it either. It was just the way they had to do it, but they wanted their little stunt.
Yeah, that, hey, if that's the spot you come up with, you got to accommodate it.
Yep.
Well, so yeah, 20,000 at Raw. I'm trying to think. Oh, well, there's a couple of things to talk about Raw that I had pop into my head. The first one, and somewhat related to Shinsuke Nakamura here, not even somewhat, very related to Shinsuke Nakamura, Ilya Dragunov makes his main roster debut with a W over Shinsuke.
Something to help build up the NXT champion and champions, as we will see later. Promote the draft. Promote that apparently in the draft everyone is eligible. I was a little confused as to whether or not is NXT part of the draft. Can NXT take people from Raw and SmackDown? I wasn't fully understanding exactly what that meant, because wouldn't NXT take Roman Reigns then?
Ava was in the discussion, so I mean, it to me it at least says that there's going to be some type of NXT involvement. I'm not quite sure what involvement. I mean, I have my guesses on who would get called up. Mr. Dragunov and Miss Perez are on said list. But there are also other eligible persons to come up. So, yeah. You know, it's hard to predict that right now, honestly. But there are some options there. You said it, and I kind of alluded to it. Roxanne Perez also gets a big win on this evening. Because I'm trying to think. I also remembered the other women's match from the night. I'm not remembering who the opponent was for. Oh, Indy Hartwell was who, because I forgot that we at least got a somewhat of a continuation of the Indy Hartwell Candice LeRae storyline moving along here at what feels like a glacial pace. But it might not be so glacial post WrestleMania here.
All right.
Yeah, so I guess that wasn't surprising. Roxanne got a nice win there. And, yeah, because, I mean, Raw was a lot of, you kind of mentioned it about earning the pops. There was a lot of you deserved it on Raw.
Yes, there really was.
There was a lot of deserving there. Trying to think, I feel like there was something else. Well, I guess we did kind of skirt around it a little bit earlier. though Damian Priest was giving the speech of his life, R-Truth managed to find his way into this segment.
Oh, this was so great. Oh yeah. Rhea and Priest are holding up their championships, and then R-Truth just wanders into the shot holding his championship and then starts talking like he's in the Judgment Day, and he won the belt for the Judgment Day. He won it from the Judgment Day. Yeah, very, 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 very funny. I laughed uproariously.
I saw the match afterwards. I'm like, whatever, we don't need to talk about that. But R-Truth just continuing his run of brilliance here, and finally getting that is it is not surprising that R-Truth hasn't won at WrestleMania before, but it is still kind of shocking just because of his longevity that he did not have a win at WrestleMania also in the same sentence. Yeah. I know that
I mean, how many times was R-Truth really pushed and put into a match at WrestleMania?
No.
Not that many, but yeah, no. This was really good. Everything they did with that was been tremendous. And I think we do need to talk about the match a little bit, because R-Truth outsmarted the Judgment Day. He got them to think that they had nobody in their corner. That the partner you could not see was, I guess, little Jimmy or something. But instead, no, it was John Cena making his second appearance in as many days. Not doing very much, but still, just playing the hits and getting out. But it's exactly what it was supposed to be. It was a lot of fun. You know, really cool. You know, and of course, paying off the whole John Cena is R-Truth's childhood hero gimmick and everything.
We got triple five knuckle shuffles. We got triple attitude adjustments. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I did forget that was quite a situation to have there. Well, yeah, because, you know, another You Deserve It was Sami Zayn on Monday Night Raw here. Not surprising that happened.
Not surprising at all. And that ends up leading to Sami Zayn teaming with Chad Gable to beat Kaiser and Gucci of Imperium.
Yeah.
Pretty good little match. But it was the whole thing, of course, was a backdrop and a setup to Sami Zayn agreeing to defend the Intercontinental Championship next week against Chad Gable in Sami's hometown of Montreal, which should be a really, really good match in a really cool atmosphere. We shall see if when Mr. Gable goes into babyface and then comes out of it a babyface.
It almost feels like something needs to happen if his character wants to move forward.
Yeah, I think so. It's time to cut the it might be time to cut the comedy. I mean, Otis maybe could stay with him in turn, but I think, well, and Maxine, who knows what we do with her? Yeah, that could go either way. Tozawa would need to go, though. Take this thing seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Tozawa definitely is out the paint if they want to take a serious turn with him. So, one person I'm not sure is ever going to be serious, yet will still find her way onto the television screens. Chelsea Green complains her way into a match with Jade Cargill on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, no, and this was, this was played very well. Yes, I mean, Pierce with his exasperation for over Chelsea, great. Chelsea was good here, and yes, they, a two move squash with Jade Cargill and Chelsea Green. It's fine. There's no, Chelsea Green's not going to beat Jade Cargill, and nor should Jade Cargill be selling for Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green's not here to be your next group. Not here to be your next women's champion. So no, this was for use of her and a good leverage Jade Cargill.
Because that was one of those. I guess I felt like in general Raw was a post WrestleMania Raw. There was a decent chunk of talking. The people who did show up didn't necessarily have a whole lot of work at WrestleMania per se. Really, Sami Zayn was the only one kind of doing double duty, but still, like, his match was night one, so it wasn't quite as bad. So yeah, that was it was a really good follow up to everything too.
Yeah. And we didn't forget one thing of that follow up. One other we forgot Rhea Ripley being El Kabong by Liv Morgan in a chair. That thing just bounced off of Rhea Ripley's head.
Wow. Yeah. Liv Morgan really winged that thing at her, and I have not seen it on the interwebs. But if Rhea Ripley posts a picture of like a giant bruise and or stitches on her head, I would not be surprised. Like she really took one there. That looked kind of tough, even if it was like the edge of the chair. Or actually, it might have been worse because it was the edge of the chair. But yeah, I mean, that was another one where Rhea does not have a lot of logical opponents left. Liv Morgan is one of them.
Yes, and there will be a reshuffling of the decks. So, we will, see where that all lands. That puts, Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley and Jade Cargill in Jade Cargill and Rhea Ripley, or Charlotte, eventually returning Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley all on the table. Because, yes, there's no one left on. I mean, Liv Morgan is going back around to a previous opponent, although there's obviously an angle there. On this current Raw roster, there is no one left.
That's Rhea's bigger problem, I guess, is that, it's all she's exhausted Raw. It's time to move over to SmackDown territory here.
Or SmackDown comes to her, however they want to do it.
Anything else to cover?
Well, I mean, I guess Jeremy and I covered this a little bit, but maybe you haven't given your two cents on it. AEW's promise to air the backstage footage from Wembley.
It's such this response, and I know that Jeremy and I talked about it. At least. Edge giving his speech, FTR giving theirs, like, I don't feel like everyone would be this butthurt if they didn't know at least some part of what CM Punk is saying is correct.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like most of what CM Punk is saying is correct. And because, I mean, I don't know how many times Jeremy and I review an AEW show, and it's like, it's not the wrestling that's the problem here. It's the other, it's the stories that go into this wrestling part that are just not well put together. And this is like part of it where it's just like, this could lead to something. I did see the theory floated that the Young Bucks may use this to help bring back one Mr. Perry into the fold.
Oh boy, that'll put butts in the seats.
And I guess that's the problem that I have. Like, I'm not gonna watch Dynamite for this segment.
Oh, I am. I want to see how they do. I want to see, once again. Here's the thing. We already know CM Punk can't fight. So if Punk, Punk's kind of bullshitting that, how well he did in this fight, and now here's the thing. If the footage they have captures Samoa Joe showing up and putting the fear of God into CM Punk and CM Punk backing down. At least that maybe makes your world champion look good.
there is that minor upside. And I guess that's maybe my biggest problem. Like, I guess I just don't see a lot of upside
in doing this. No, it just keeps this going. And they have let this dark cloud hang over their heads for nearly 2 years. Like, yes, it's heavy-handed, but, and I mentioned this on Sunday with Jeremy, everything WWE is doing right now is what a company should do to manage a crisis and to move on to the next thing. AEW has never moved on from Brawl Out.
Oh.
And then, of course, something else happened a year later that, again, they're never going to let go of.
And they should. They won the free agent wars.
Did they really?
Since no one can see it, I might be rolling my eyes as I say this. I'm not sure that they
necessarily. They've got Okada playing sidekick to the Young Bucks while holding the least important title in the company.
Not completely bummed about that, but again, storylines have not been their strong suit, so...
No, they're not.
Me having faith in this situation working out is on the lower side.
And talking is not Mercedes Moné's strong point, but apparently we're going to get a lot of more of that because she's not wrestling until the end of May.
Yep, she can be where, like, everyone can be happy where they're at, but I also hold the rights to make fun of you for said decision.
Yeah.
I guess that would be interesting. I'm not sure if Jeremy and I will end up watching that live or not. Okay. Anyway, that's almost planning for the next podcast, the information out there. So, I guess that'll be interesting tomorrow evening. Have not watched any of NXT. So I typically have watched that on Thursdays. So I'll try to get to that maybe earlier because of travel this week, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe it'll be even later than that. I crammed a lot of wrestling into this past weekend. I know that I can cram a lot of wrestling in a short time period should it be needed. Trying to think if there's anything else. But I don't think there is. I think that was the last topic. Because, I mean,
that I think that's it.
To be talked about. Okay, bell time beer on my end. Since I am going traveling this weekend, I decided to drink a travel beer. I do not believe I actually got this beer at Evergreen Brewing, but I did get it on one of my trips into the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania. It's Evergreen Brewing's Nor'easter Winter Porter with vanilla, fig, and maple syrup. I can't read what else is in there because the print is in with the white. But anyway, very, very tasty porter, since there was actually a Nor'easter up in Maine and New Hampshire, if I'm not mistaken. I figured, hey, why not take advantage of some meteorological events that were not the eclipse this week. So if you find yourself in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area, yeah, Evergreen Brewing, definitely a high level of suggest. Their beer is excellent. So yeah, go there. They have a fun little space too. So that is the Bell Time beer suggestion from at DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.